Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry.
Okay, so Carrie, yeah. Tell me where you are. I'm sorry, I don't even have all your data in front of me.
I live in Danbury, Connecticut. My husband and I moved back to Connecticut, in 2022 after about 21 years away. We live in a different part of Connecticut. Now we're in Danbury, which is more southern and west. So it's kind of fun because I'm close to a lot of different places that I hadn't explored before. And, my mom lives with us. Although she's currently away in her homeland for 3 months, Ireland.
Oh, really? Your mother's Irish?
Yeah. That's exciting.
How fascinating.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. She's one of 11, and there's 8 still living, including her.
Wow. That's great.
So she goes every summer, which is great.
That's great. That's great. I thought Connecticut's in Connecticutans. What do you call yourself?
Connecticut Yankees?
I don't know. We're Tennesseans, so Connecticutian.
New Englander.
New Englander, there you go.
New Englander.
I thought you all had an accent.
You think
like
I had
Boston.
An accent?
No, you don't. That's what I'm saying. I thought all of you up there did, though.
Oh my gosh. You're making me remember this funny memory. So my husband and I both went to Gordon Conwell in Massachusetts for seminary. And we came with 3 kids and we moved into this 3-bedroom apartment. Anyway, we land in Massachusetts. We had lived in New York State for several years. And my husband took my youngest daughter to Target. And the guy on the intercom said, "Get your charge card at Target today." And Emma said to my husband, "Do we have to talk like that?" She was 8 years old. No, we have a refined accent.
Well, I don't hear an accent in you at all. And that's why I thought that was interesting, because most people up there have some sort of accent. And you sound like a normal person. Forgive me for all you New
Englanders are so abnormal. You know what? I always thought I didn't until I met some people from Rhode Island. And I'm like, "What is wrong with them?" And they're like, "What is wrong with you?" It's like, they can detect it. And then Mainers have a different accent than Vermonters. New Hampshire, I think, sounds, parts of it sound more like Connecticut, Western Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the South. It's like the South.
Yeah,
there's different accents down here, you know. And I was surprised to learn years ago that Southern accents go as far as Southern Illinois. So that really surprised me.
Oh, yes. Yes. I had a friend who lived on the border of Illinois and Kentucky, and she was a nurse. And so, yes, there was a lot of that like Kentuckian accent up there.
Yes. Yes. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and pray. And then we're going to get started. So Carrie, I'm going to have you open us in prayer. And Linda, if you'll close us, and I'll pop in the middle there.
Okay.
And Carrie, before we'll get going with some silence and then get it recording, but this is casual conversation. It's like sitting down over coffee and we're talking to leaders of abortion recovery ministries. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know she sent you some questions, but if you have something else on your heart you want to share with those people, you just go right ahead and introduce whatever the Lord puts on your heart too. So just want to give you that open door.
Yeah. We're just leaders encouraging other leaders. So,
and I appreciate that. I love that.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time, to learn from each other. to encourage other recovery workers, and perhaps anyone else, Lord, who maybe end up listening. Lord, we're so grateful for the amazing healing work you're doing in pregnancy centers and recovery centers. It's amazing to see, Lord, this is real. This is on the ground stuff that changes people's lives. And thank you for Forgiven and Set Free and other things that have been published. Thank you for the work that Mindy and Linda are doing. And we just ask that you come into this space right now, Holy Spirit, anoint us each for this time and bring out anything that you want shared, Lord. This is about you, and we serve the King. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to get to know Carrie a little bit more and find out what's going up in her area of the United States, Lord. And it is so just amazing and encouraging to see you working in all of us in all these different areas and yet united by Christ and under the banner of Jesus Christ. And we just praise you, Lord, for that. And I pray for everyone listening that you would encourage their hearts, equip them in whatever they needed to hear today, and help them to know that they're not alone in this work, that we are mighty and we are mighty in Christ, and we are actually many. And I just thank you for the opportunity to sit with Carrie and include her in the many in this conversation.
Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that we can bow at your feet, pour our perfume on your feet, and wash your feet with our hair. Lord, we love you. We love you for redeeming us. We love you for giving us a ministry of reconciliation, Lord. We want to see you move. We want to see you heal the thousands and the tens of thousands. So, Lord, we just want to testify of what you've done for us and what you're doing for others. I thank you for Carrie and the ministry you've given her, Lord. We just commit this time to you now and ask that your spirit would fill us and that we would be able to speak your words through us, and that those that listen will be blessed. Draw people to this podcast, Lord, that need to hear the message that we are going to be speaking. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we have with us today Carrie Letty. She's from Danbury, Connecticut. She is with Hopeline Pregnancy Center. And Carrie, before I ask you to tell a little bit about yourself, I have to ask this question. Now, I hope you don't think that I'm rude, but I'm sitting here racking my brain. How did we get connected? And I just don't. I know what we're going to talk about because I have questions, but I cannot remember how we got connected for this podcast. So, could you just jog my memory?
Sure, I'm so forgettable.
No,
I
no.
know this was so interesting. I was going to bring this up later, but Mindy, you and I were both in a training with Sarah Loy last summer
That's right.
online, and
Linda was
you and
there.
I were put. Was she?
Yes, Linda was
Oh
in
yeah,
that
she was.
training.
I'm
Yes,
forgettable
yes.
too.
I forgot too.
So you and I were put in a breakout room,
That's
and
right.
we
Now I
only had
remember.
a few minutes. And I'm like, that woman is cool, but I didn't know your last name, and I didn't know how to contact you. And then I randomly came across your podcast a few months ago, and I'm
Yay.
like, I listened to it because Sarah Loy's colleague was on it, and I heard your voice, and I'm like, that's that woman I met. And so I reached out to you via email. That's
Okay,
how that happened.
I'm so glad
Yeah.
you reminded me because I was like, what in the world? How did we get
And I'm
connected?
so glad that how God connects us and networks
Yes,
us. And that's what this program is all
exactly.
about.
Yes,
Yes.
and now that you remind me, I remember in that breakout session, I thought, I want to get to know her more. I really enjoyed talking to you in that breakout session. I don't remember now what it was about specifically, but I just remember as you were reminding me that I thought, like, oh, yeah, I wanted to. Okay, so here we are. Yay,
It's
thank you,
cool.
God.
Yeah,
Yes, it
God
is.
is good.
Yes. So what I'd like for you to do is just tell us a little bit about your story and how you got started in this kind of ministry.
Sure. I became a believer at 19, primarily through the witness of my parents and also some men and women who talked about Jesus as if he was real and alive. And looking back, I think as a kid and a teenager, I thought of God as like way up in the sky, someone to be feared, if I did not comport myself well. We were always going to church, but I didn't know Jesus personally until I was about 19. And so what was transformative for me was understanding that Jesus is alive and that he loves me despite my failings. And I began to realize how much I owed him and that my decision making needed to include God. And that was pretty radical for me. And my thinking. So, where I was going to go to college, who I would marry, whether or not to have a career or what kind of career, that kind of thing. And because you see, at the time, I never really wanted to get married, at least not for years in the future. And I certainly didn't want children. So I just knew how selfish I was. And I'm like, I don't want to raise one of those. And I was raised in a very matriarchal environment. My mom is one of 11. So there's eight girls, and they were always coming to visit. And they were very independent. I got a lot of messages like, don't bother getting married, that kind of thing. And I sort of internalized that. So, and I had quite a lot of fears around marriage and having children. So, anyway, the Lord really began to work on my heart. He introduced me to my husband. He became a believer through my family. And we became engaged much younger and much younger age than I planned. And, but even then, I had misgivings like, I'm giving up my independence, I'm giving up my freedom. Eventually got over that because I knew the Lord had brought us together. And then later, a friend kept encouraging me that she saw things in myself that I did not see regarding motherhood, that it is something I should consider. And then later, the Lord really directly asked me to trust him in that, despite my fear. And I was fearful. And here I am, three children and nearly four grandchildren later, and 37 years married. So abortion is not part of my story. But I have supported pregnancy center ministries in various ways for many years. My dear friend, Rhonda Mapes, in Ithaca, at Ithaca Pregnancy Center, she trained me to be a center volunteer in 2001. And I served there for 2 or 3 years. So I saw how pregnancy centers work. And then after seminary, when my husband and I moved to Rochester, New York, where he served as pastor, and I was also on staff doing everything else, as you might realize, pastors' wives often do, I joined a board of a medical ministry that included a CareNet pregnancy center. And it opened my eyes to how critical these pregnancy centers were in a community, as well as holistic healthcare. So that's how I got my feet wet, so to speak, in pregnancy center ministry.
Okay. And so you're doing abortion recovery now?
Yes. So I was on staff at our church for about 11 years, and then we moved. And I was not working when we first moved here. I had never worked in recovery. But my dear friends were very connected to Hopeline, and they told me about a job opening, and they said, you should really apply. And I had just prayed to the Lord the week before. I think I need a job. And then this fell into my lap.
Now, Hopeline is the pregnancy center.
Yes,
Okay,
yes.
okay.
Yep. And Hopeline just celebrated its 38th anniversary
Ooh,
today.
congratulations.
Today. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So I was very intrigued to learn about Hopeline because I didn't know about it when I was living here. Excuse me one second.
So your video froze. There you are.
Sorry about that.
Okay, maybe we
I
can
guess
cut
that
this out.
happens. I guess that happens when you're getting a phone call. Can you hear me?
Okay, so just so everybody knows, I don't know if I can cut that out because of how you stopped, but we've been having some technical difficulties on Carrie's end, and so now she's using her phone, and apparently you got a phone call while you were on this. And that's what happened.
Sorry
All
about that.
right, so we're back. What were you,
Yes.
where were you at?
You were talking about
Yeah,
Hope Line.
I was amazed to learn about Hope Line that it had three centers. It's the largest pregnancy center in Connecticut, Danbury, where I live, Stamford, and Bridgeport, all in Southern Connecticut, and that they had this recovery, dedicated recovery ministry for abortion recovery, sexual trauma, and grief care.
Wow.
All Bible studies.
Awesome. So these
And
are in-person groups.
we don't do groups right now. We have had groups in the past. I've only been at Hope Line for 1 year
Okay.
and sort of rebuilding recovery. And I meet individually and I have some volunteers. Yes. Two
One-on-one.
of our,
Okay.
yes. And two of our volunteers actually just took a group to their church using one of our books, Path to Sexual Healing by Linda Cochran. And they had an amazing time. So it is sometimes used in church groups. And I will say, we use Forgiven and Set Free exclusively at Hope Line, and it is a legacy at Hope Line because Linda Cochran was our executive director for many, many years, and she
Okay.
wrote all of her books while she was at Hope Line.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's
So,
dear to a lot of our hearts.
yeah, and I'm gonna pivot for a minute because I don't think I knew that you did not have abortion in your past, unless I forgot again, because I can't remember exactly what we talked about in that breakout session. But I'm very, very interested and fascinated by how that shift came. And you said you needed a job and this job opened, but for somebody who doesn't have abortion to and it doesn't sound like, and you haven't shared all the ins and outs of your story, like there's a lot of trauma or grief in your story. So what made you decide you want to step into this space?
I have a master's degree in counseling. We don't consider ourselves counselors. We're Bible facilitators. I've had other things happen in my life, and as I mentioned, the fears and anxiety regarding having
Mothering.
children, I get it. I totally get it.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, when you're called into something by the Lord, I've learned not to say no. I've had, whenever you do something for the first time, it's scary, but I have learned over many years that he's always faithful. And I serve at the pleasure of the king. I've been saying that a lot to myself. And if he calls you, he's going to equip you. And yes, I have often felt out of my depth, but I let it be known with my clients in our first session that while I don't have an abortion in my past, I have empathy and I don't have judgment about what they've done. I only want to help them heal. And you know, when we were at CareNet conference, I heard someone in a in one of the sessions, not the main session, more like a breakout session, I heard someone stand up saying that they think that someone who has not had an abortion should not be serving as a recovery leader. And I was like, my jaw dropped because I had just been in the position for about a month. And behind me was Sarah Loy. And I turned to Sarah after, and I'm like, Sarah, what do I do with that? And she's like, you don't listen to it. She said, you are called to this, and therefore God's going to use you. She said, I have seen women lead groups and people individually who have not had abortions, and God has done amazing things. So through her encouragement, And my executive director, Adrian Gretto, who really believes in me and what I'm doing,
That's wonderful.
that has really helped me understand that he can use us all. And
Amen.
if he wills it, he's going to do it. Yeah.
So I'd like you to answer this question for those listening who are in your shoes, maybe not as a director, but wanting to lead these groups or leading these groups and feeling doubt. What or who qualifies you to serve in this capacity in this field without
Are
your
you talking
experience?
about job experience?
Good question. I'm talking about in terms of working with abortion recovery, sexual trauma, grief care. What or who is qualifying you to be in this position where you are overseeing this and leading these groups?
Well, number one, I've had number one, I believe, is the Lord.
Yes.
And I've been given a mandate by the board, our board of directors, to serve, and our executive director. I have a background in counseling. I've served leading Bible groups for many years. I've counseled under the auspices of the church, people in trauma. I've experienced a bit of trauma myself in broken relationships. A few other things. And so I get it. I can speak to the pain that many of our clients are experiencing. I have one client right now. She has been so traumatized. Her life has been completely upended by her abortion a year ago. And, as a mom, my heart breaks for her. As a counselor, I see how much work she needs to do within herself. But also, I had the privilege of leading her to Christ, which is where I believe the ultimate healing comes from,
Amen.
and the Word of God. So I believe all those things help. And, one of the reasons why I took that training with Sarah Loy. She actually developed that training with my predecessor for those groups, the training groups, was because I did feel out of my depth at times. And then what really helped me learn from Sarah was I took a risk and I said, "Hey, could I lead a group with you, co-lead your next group? Because I want to learn by doing. That's how I learn best." And yes, I was able to do that with her and another co-leader. There were three of us, and two of us were brand new to this kind of thing. And I learned a lot by basically being thrown into the fire. And she did not treat us like newbies. She gave us equal amount of work to do, leading certain sections. And that's how I believe you learn. So that was so good. And what I primarily learned from Sarah was that when in doubt, pray. So we would be always meeting before our group online, because she's in Boston, I'm here in Connecticut. And often we'd have like questions about clients or concerns, or should we shift the agenda? And she'd say, "We need to stop and we need to pray." And every time we got the answer from the Lord. And I think that's one of the reasons Sarah's so special.
She has a sweet relationship with the Lord. I want to just ask this for those who maybe are listening that don't have abortion in their past and are questioning, they're listening to hearing you say, well, she's got counseling background, she's got experience talking to women, da da da. And maybe they don't have that, but they know that the Lord is calling them in. And they don't have abortion in their past. How would you encourage them?
Number one, as long as they're healthy themselves, like they understand who has saved them and set them free, that they've needed forgiveness in their past, and they're approaching this with humility and grace and compassion for these clients, I believe the Lord and maybe their executive director can help equip them for working with these clients. Now, working with groups and working individually are very different. So some experience, if you're some recovery centers like Springwater, where Sarah is, they only do groups, right? So having a measure of experience running groups would be helpful. So if you've run Bible studies, that is a great way to have that in your tool belt to approach recovery ministry in that way. And so having, I think, a ministry background does help, but also having the humility to seek help where you're lacking. So if you have a teachable spirit, you're going to be able to do this. You're going to be able to do this and seek people who encourage you, like in your church, and or on your staff. As long as you have that kind of support, I think you're going to be successful.
Can I come back to you made a state very interesting statement to me, that group and one-on-one is very different. I'd love for you to expand on that just a little bit, because right now I had a group that fell apart and I'm ending up doing one-on-one with the gal. And of course I've done that before, but it is a bit of an adjustment. Can you tell me about the difference between the two?
Well, I think there's a different dynamic at play. Having just done that group with Sarah a few months ago, I love the interplay between multiple people and seeing how they learn to trust each other. So you have that kind of anxiety in the beginning. Like you just said, your group fell apart for whatever reason. Often, if there's people in the group who just can't trust each other, it's not going to happen. Like there, it's probably not going to be a successful group. So that I loved leading groups. I loved leading Bible groups. With the one-on-one, I think it's a little more intense. I really do. Not that the groups can't be intense, but like you have more flexibility. So with this particular client that I'm working with right now, some recovery directors may not have worked with her because she's in so much trauma right now. I know there's kind of the thought that you shouldn't work with someone who is still very traumatized by their abortion. And when I started working with her, it was about 6 months prior, but I knew she had no other support. She had no other resources. And she kept saying, "Hope line is my only hope right now." And so I agreed to work with her. And what I've had to do is stretch out Forgiven and Set Free. It's not going to be 9 sessions. It's probably going to be closer to 18 or 20 because she can only handle it in little bits. And because of my counseling background, that does help me with some of the trauma and giving her resources. So I think that's kind of the difference. Both are awesome. And you kind of have to go with what your center is allowing you to do, or even like I don't have enough clients right now to do a group, although we have enough Spanish speaking clients in need of recovery that we are planning to have a group in the coming months with
That's great.
my Spanish speaking volunteer and one of our staff members.
That's great.
When you
It's
do
in.
one-on-one, do you have a co-leader then? Or is it just the two of you?
No, it is
One on
one-on-one.
one.
Yeah,
Okay.
but we always meet in our centers, or we could meet at a church as long as someone else is present. So at our centers, there has to be another person in the building.
That makes
Yeah.
sense. It's interesting. Everybody's perspective is different. And I think also the way we're geared, and what our bents are and what our preferences are too. When I get a one-on-one, I tend to really like them because I'm more of a one-on-one person. I do the best with one-on-one it with any kind of relationship. And so I actually like them better because we can go really, really deep in our conversations if they want to. And so I guess it really depends on the nature of her wound as well. And you're talking about deep trauma in this gal. And praise the Lord that you have a counseling background and she found you, because I've also heard people say, and I'm glad I don't remember who said this, counselors and therapists should not be leading these Bible studies. And I'm like, I never understood that either, because they just didn't, they feared getting them. I don't know what they feared. I just thought it was weird. So I'm thankful. Like, I don't have that kind of background, but, and I make sure that I really tell them that. So if there's a lot of deep, deep trauma, I will refer them out to a therapist and a counselor, somebody who is more equipped and better able to handle
right.
those conversations. But I'm so thankful that counselors and therapists are getting, I know Sarah has a counseling background.
Yes. Fun fact.
Yes.
Sarah and I were at Gordon Conwell together in the counseling program.
Oh, wow.
But we didn't realize that until after I had taken that summer training and I started preparing with her for that online group. And
that's
I had
hilarious.
Mentioned Gordon Conwell, and she's like, I didn't know you went to Gordon Conwell. And we figured out we were there at the same time, and we had been in only one or two classes together.
Oh,
and she
funny.
Lived off campus with her husband, but I lived on campus with my family. So that was really fun.
That is
yes.
fun. Yeah. Oh, I love how the Lord does that. So I do want to shift and talk about her training from your perspective. So we, like we mentioned earlier, all three of us were in the same training. I thought it was a really good training. She does a really good job with it. And there's
and it's specifically on Forgiven and Set Free.
Yep. Yes. And
yep, this is for leaders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can take that online like we did. So, you don't have to go in person to take her group, but we've had her on and talked about her training from her perspective. And so I just thought it would be fun to hear from your perspective, what you learned from her, how it was helpful for you, that training, and then maybe what tools or object lessons that you, well, we'll get back to that question. We'll come back to that question. Just what did you learn and how is it helpful?
Well, I took copious notes. I guess, obviously it was my first exposure to Forgiven and Set Free Facilitator's Guide. And so I found it very helpful that she would go through each chapter. Now, obviously there's limited times. I don't remember how many weeks we met, maybe 6 weeks. So you're kind of flying through these chapters.
Actually, I think
yeah.
it was, we met 3 weeks, twice each week. Didn't we meet like Tuesday
it?
And Thursday, an hour
oh,
each?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So it was fairly swift to go through the training. But what I appreciated about Sarah is she's always encouraging you to make it your own. Like, you're not, and I've seen this as I've worked with some clients, that I can't follow that facilitator's guide, excuse me, to the letter at times,
mm-hmm.
Just because of time constraints, or it just doesn't fit with this particular person.
Right.
But on the whole, it is such a helpful tool to use with the Bible study that the women have in their hand.
Well, and especially if you've not been through the study before yourself, it gives you a really good guideline of how to work through it and what to incorporate into it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And for anyone who takes the training, Sarah provides you the slides and you can always have those on hand to refer to. So I did get a lot out of that training, but it was like drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
And as I said, I think for me, the most valuable thing was co-leading that group with her. So if people can quickly get part of a group, if they don't have any experience, that's what they really should do, is get under someone like a Sarah Loy who mm-hmm. can mentor them. And I mean, Sarah has such a gentle, encouraging way about her.
She does.
I think every person needs a Sarah Loy. So if you could get to be a part of an online training group, like for your training, but you're working with actual clients, I think it's so invaluable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have an idea. You know, many of the people listening to this podcast are not necessarily using Forgiven and Set Free,
mm-hmm.
but I have found such help in taking trainings for other curriculums than what I'm using. Because I think many of us kind of pull pieces from this and that and get new ideas from different curriculums. What do you guys think? Would it be helpful for someone who maybe isn't using Forgiven and Set Free just to get some fresh ideas?
I do.
You mean from the facilitators training? Oh, yeah.
No, from a different,
Absolutely.
she's talking about from a different study. So
If somebody's using Surrendering the
getting
Secret
trained.
or Living in Color or one of the others, would it
Getting
still be
trained in
helpful, you
those.
think?
Yes, I do.
Well, it'd be helpful too, because we're gonna go through with that book looking, answering questions for ourselves. So, right, we're actually viewing it from a participant, but we're also looking at it as, you know, what we can do to lead. So yeah, I think so. I've had some people come through who want to use Surrendering the Secret, but they're like, I want to learn about Forgiven and Set Free. And I'm sure they're taking some things away and saying, okay, I'm going to put that in there, you know, hodgepodge.
Or save one, or you know, there's so many out there right now. But I think each of them have such a valuable contribution to the whole.
Absolutely. God can use it all. Yes.
Next month we're having on Wendy Jencola. She has wrote Transforming Your Story as another abortion recovery. So I'm really excited to have her on and talk about hers, because I've not heard of anybody going through her book. And so I'm excited to hear from her and talk about that. So yeah.
I'll write that down. I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah. That will be August 8th that she's coming on, and I post the same day. So you should be able to listen to it the very next day if I don't get it up that evening.
Great.
So tell me about some unique tools, object lessons, crafts, et cetera, that you feel like you want to incorporate with the ladies that you're working with.
Well, as I said, I don't do groups right now. We do have a retreat coming up, though, but that's not going to be abortion recovery. That is actually going to be grief care for women who've had miscarriage.
But even
That's cool.
one-on-one, you still can do
Yes.
things with them. So what are you bringing
Yes.
in?
So I love this book.
What is that?
It's called Breath as Prayer, Calm Your Anxiety, Focus Your Mind, and Renew Your Soul. And it's by Jennifer Tucker. And Jennifer Tucker does most of the illustrations, I believe, for Anne Voskamp's books. And it is an amazing tool to sort of, well, first of all, if your client, as many of our clients, don't have a lot of biblical background with scripture, the scripture study that they have to do in Forgiven and Set Free can be daunting. There's a lot of questions that they may have. And this book is great in just giving them little snippets of scripture, but also a tool for helping them with their anxiety. So, for instance, this one says, inhale, and then you would inhale, I seek you with my whole heart, and exhale, don't let me wander from your commands. And you just keep saying that to yourself, for like a minute or two, just to feel grounded, and you're getting the word of God into your mind and in your heart. And I can't tell you how many people I've given this book to, for different reasons. So I'll bring this up. I just gave it to a client yesterday for her to
Okay.
take home. Yes.
Tell us the
Another
name
thing that I
one
like,
more time.
yes, Breath as Prayer.
Breath as prayer.
Breath as Prayer. Jennifer Tucker. Another thing I like to do with my clients is when we're not meeting, is to text them scriptures that can encourage them in their current situation. But also, the Lord might pop a song into my head that I'm like, oh, this person could use this song today. And I'll send
Music
that
is
to them.
powerful. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. So I think adding to your the Forgiven and Set Free study or whatever study you're using, don't be afraid to use art, music, other books, articles that you find. I think all of those can be helpful tools to give your clients.
Yeah. Now, have you brought art into your groups?
Well, one reason why I love this book is the art, because it's a thing of beauty. It's not just throwing scripture at them. And so, you know, I think they begin to connect this the word of God with beauty. I mean, I think the word of God is beautiful, but I'm also a
Yes.
big art lover.
Okay.
So, yeah, I plan on bringing in more art in the future.
And when you do you plan on it just like a picture and like just for them to look at, or are you planning on them like drawing, or is, or what are you thinking when you bring it in art?
Sure. Remember the beginning of our training for Forgiven and Set Free with Sarah. She had us looking at various photographs, and we had to choose one and talk about how it spoke to us. So something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, when my kids were growing up, I often would use these cards that had artwork on them, like from master painters, and just give that to them to sort of be exposed to these beautiful works of art, but also to learn like who painted them. That's not my point here. It's more like how does this, and it could be like a scriptural painting, right? A painting that's taken right out of scripture. Or it might not, but how does this speak to you? What do you see in this? Or just to have them concentrate on something other than their anxiety or their trauma, and to help them learn these skills of settling, because often they've never been taught that. I mean, I had to learn that myself. Like, I didn't understand that things that I would do or decisions I would make were all about lack of coping, or that's how I was coping, right? So you don't know
Yeah,
what you don't know.
it's true. How do you, how does just if you're just okay, so say we're looking at something very a beautiful picture of some kind, you know, whatever that is, the scenery, flowers or whatever. What is happening in that? I know you can't speak for other people, but like for yourself, so what's happening in yourself? What does the colors help your brain do? What does the art help you do?
Wow, that's hard.
Okay.
I mean, I go to art museums all the time. It is just something I love to do.
Okay.
It's I relax. I feel more creative. I feel stimulated. So I was just in Houston recently visiting some friends, and we went to these two museums, and I had such a blast going around with my friend's husband and talking about this artwork and what it meant and this Bible scene and explaining it. And I just find such a joy in it. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it talks a lot about the artisans that the Lord put in place to make the temple,
Anointed them.
anointed them.
Yep.
And
And the
so not
detail.
just, yeah, so you have potters, you have painters, you have those who made the elaborate linen, and the list goes on and on. So I'm just one of those who I just wish the church, and I know there are churches who do value this, but we, as the Big C Church, need to just really value that God cares about art, and art has meaning in people's lives, and it can be part of people's healing. I do
We
believe
just had
that.
a
And
great
it's definitely.
podcast with Sylvia Blakely and
Jane Meeks.
Jane Meeks, that's right, talking about the value of art and how it connects something that we can't put into words. It puts a face on emotions that we couldn't ex describe if we tried. Yeah.
Yeah, and I probably just failed miserably at describing how I
No,
feel
it's
about
your
it. But
answer. It's your
right
answer.
on
It's
the
your
mark.
response. Yeah.
Understand, I love art, but I am not an artist, but I am a writer.
That was my next
So,
question. So a
yes.
lot of times people who love art are artists, so they appreciate the art that it, you know, what it took to create a piece of art, but oftentimes people aren't. And so I'm always curious about that too. So you're a writer.
Yeah, I don't draw very well, but I think I write pretty well.
Okay. That's great.
And I also edit. I'm an editor. I do,
Ooh.
that's my side gig.
Oh.
I love finding people's mistakes and helping them look better.
You're the one that people don't like. Get out that
Exactly.
red pen. That's awesome. Well, we have so enjoyed having you on and reconnecting. And
Yes.
now I
Yes.
have a
I
memory
loved
I
it.
won't forget of you. You are unforgettable. I
Oh,
am just a
thank you,
failed
Lindy.
memory.
You too. No, you two are amazing. Thank you so much for having me. And I love that how you said this in the beginning, Mindy, the Lord just brings us together. And networking is so key.
Yes.
And people across the United States and the world, really, we need to find each other when we feel alone in what we're doing in our ministries. And there are others out there who need encouragement, and that God can use us to encourage them and use them to encourage us.
Yeah, and that's what this whole podcast is for, is hopefully to encourage one another in our ministries and what we're doing. Will you be at CareNet in September?
We will not,
Oh.
unfortunately, we can't go this year. We have a lot of other projects coming up that we really have to dedicate our time to. Like I mentioned, that retreat that's coming up in the fall, but also
Great.
we are trying to work on getting Forgiven and Set Free translated into Portuguese. So nothing's set in stone yet. It's a work in progress. But so if anyone would like to know more about that or how they can help support us in that, please contact me at hopelinepRC.org. But it's very exciting, not only for us. Most of our clients in Danbury are Spanish and Portuguese speaking. We have a great need for volunteers who are bilingual. But across the United States, that population is burgeoning. And so we have a lot of women and men who are Portuguese and Spanish speaking, who need recovery materials in their own language. That is a
Okay, great.
passion.
I'm glad you
Do
mentioned
you
that. Thank
know
you.
of any virtual groups that are available in Spanish at this time?
I do not. I do
Okay.
not. Yeah. If we decide to do ours virtually, the Spanish speaking group that we're planning on doing, if we decide to do it virtually, I can let people know. I could let you guys know.
Yeah,
Yeah.
let us know. That way we'll have that resource too if we ever run across somebody who needs a group. Because I know here in this area, we have at our pregnancy center, we have a Spanish lady who works there and helps all the Spanish clients. And she contacted me a few months ago and said, could you do a forget is it in Spanish and could you do it? And I'm like, well, I can't speak Spanish. No, it's not in Spanish. But if you could do it with me, you could translate. I mean, it would have been, very arduous, but it didn't happen. But now knowing that you're trying to do that is a great resource. Great resource.
And, I think you were just talking about Forgiven and Set Free, right? In Spanish, we do have it in Spanish, but it is the older version.
Oh,
It is,
okay.
and it's a PDF. So I just
Okay.
trained a volunteer who's Spanish speaking, but it's unfortunate it's only in the older version and it's only in a PDF. So
Ah, okay.
that also needs to be put in, the new edition, which, like Jill Marquis, she understands that. Like, she wants that to happen as well.
That's awesome. Well,
Yeah.
thank you so much for your time and pushing through all our technical difficulties that we had in the beginning. I appreciate it. And it was
Was
a
a pleasure to
joy.
meet you.
Yeah.
I hope to see you guys in the future very, very soon.
Me too.